Spring football is where expectations are built and sometimes where fans get fooled. Because right now, Wisconsin fans are hearing a lot of good things, progress, development, momentum. But are we looking at a team that's actually turning a corner or just another off-season illusion? I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome into the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. Spring practice is wrapping up, and now it's time to separate real progress from off-season noise. We'll break down the biggest takeaways from spring ball and take a closer look at the quarterback spot. How is Colton Joseph progressing, and how does he fit with this team? Then it's time for our spring superlatives, biggest surprises, top performers, concerns, and the biggest unknowns heading into the summer. We'll wrap with a quick look at Wisconsin basketball and the additions of Isaac Riddle and Josh Manchester. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. Thank you to everyone for your support of the show. Also, a special thank you to our audio listeners. If you're someone who doesn't really watch us on YouTube and you just listen on the audio, that's fantastic. Thank you for your support. Hit that follow button on your podcast. Leave a review if you can. We always appreciate that. Always really good when we have special guests, especially this.
The Bucky Report proudly welcomes Nick Osen from 247 Sports.
In a fairly short time, this man has simply become the best in the business at covering Wisconsin athletics. So fantastic. Nick, happy to have you back, man. Welcome back to the show. It's been like a month, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much. I've missed it. You know, I've been looking forward to this, and this is one of kind of our favorite times of the year for discussion with fall camp and right now. So obviously with spring, grateful to be back, fellas.
Yes, indeed, and we're happy to have you. We're happy to have you. Let's get right into it. We got a lot to go on, lots to cover today. I just have to start with, we're gonna talk a lot of good spring ball today. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about superlatives and do all the fun stuff, but I do have to bring up a bit of a, you know, a negative Nelly here. A 47 year old streak was broken when no Wisconsin Badgers got drafted in the NFL draft. Several UDFAs, which we'll touch on, but yikes, Justin, that is not what I expected to see yesterday.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised. There were guys who I figured would be draft picks and who I think will definitely outplay it. Let me just be honest. If Reiger is healthy, he's not only going to likely make that team, he's probably going to be a guy that finds his way into like at least somewhat of a useful reserve. I'm not going to say he's going to be a starter, but I think he's competent, and he, with how hard he plays, he's going to get an opportunity somewhere. But there's a few guys that I feel that way about. I think Vinny Anthony's got a really good chance of doing it. It doesn't shock me that Vinny didn't get picked up in the draft, because I felt like the production was so low that the guys who had big senior years or big junior years were going to be the ones that got the opportunity over him. Now it's going to be one of those situations where teams probably look at it like, we know you probably have the ability, but we didn't get to see it. So we're going to have to make you earn it coming into camp.
Yeah. Nick, your thoughts on that 47-year streak breaking?
Yeah, I mean, Justin's spot on. Like, I think we've texted about it. I think you guys have talked about it on shows or commented. I mean, talent-wise, if everything is clear-cut, you know, healthy for a guy like Reiger, to me, that was around 4 or 5 type of guy. Now, I understand the NFL has to look at things very, very closely because these guys, GMs and front offices, their jobs are on the line. But talent-wise, no question. I thought that going into the week, Justin, and speaking with, you know, some sources and things like that, I thought Anthony had a chance. But then once it hit maybe mid-day three, when you saw the board, the best talents, there were still a bunch up there. I wasn't kind of shocked near the end. Obviously, you know, we report where he ends up, which is phenomenal, because I think that not only does he have a chance, especially with some of the guaranteed money, but also you've got a guy that is so familiar with your game in Jordan Reed there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a different role now, but really cool. You know, just quick shout out. I know there were a lot of guys, but like Daryl Peterson and especially Nizir. I mean, he gets opportunities kind of taken away here, lands in a spot that, you know, McVay will give the best opportunities to anybody if they earn it. So really interesting.
Man, like I want him to succeed so bad. Nizir Forkerin deserves a shot. Like he got a raw deal. You know, you see players left and right getting another year of eligibility, right, getting through the courts. This guy just gets sucked down into the madness, and he's going to get a shot to play in the NFL. So kudos to him. And also shout out to now my new boy again, Austin Brown. He's going to Indianapolis Colts, baby. Let's go. His partner back there, Hunter Waller. Hunter Waller got a season-ending injury last season in camp. So he hopefully will have his rookie season this year. And if he could play with little Austin Brown, that'd be fun, man. Real fun. Of all the UDFAs, guys, we kind of touched on. Give me a guy that you think is like gonna make and start at some point in the future in the NFL. Don't say Reiger because I feel like he's the obvious one.
I think I brought him up before we were talking, and I said Aker. I think he could be, it's going to be a situational starter because it will be whenever they decide to go short yardage or bring in a fullback. But I think he's a quality blocker. And I think that he's got some nice things that he does from an athleticism standpoint that somebody will give him an opportunity.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And I mean, again, an awesome story where you see kind of the time put in, the tools, guys, maybe over some of the production. Obviously didn't get a ton of opportunities, but really, really cool. We'll say not Reiger, not Anthony, just because they were kind of maybe some of the top looked at for the draft. So I would say, give me Riley Malman. Yeah, Bill Woj, my guy, I see commenting right there. Malman, I think he was individually hurt a little bit because he was such a team guy last year, obviously having to move over to left tackle. I think he could be a multi-year starter at right in the NFL if he continues to develop and adds some technique.
So a name that I want to bring up, I almost wore his jersey today, is Skylar Bell.
Buffalo Bill. He doesn't count.
Congrats to him. No, I know. I have one. I'm just saying I wanted to just bring it up. Congrats to DJ Williams. Congrats to Noah Kowski, all these guys that were ex-Badgers. Fun to see them drafted. My shout's going to the New York Giants, Ben Barton. Watch out, Ben Barton. He has surprised me at every level. He's a
rotational guy.
And I'm just saying, like, no one expected anything out of him last year. And I think he was our best defensive lineman last year. I think he was one of our best players on the team. Absolute, absolute machine up there. And all those guys around him got to do good work because of the work he was doing. So I think Ben Barton might get a shot in the NFL, but we'll see. Before we get into spring football, I wanted to just quickly touch on, we don't have a segment about it, but one of my favorite Badger quarterbacks, because it was when I was in school, Jim Sorgi, his son is now coming to Wisconsin, Jack Sorgi, 4-star recruit. Quick. I want just a quick thing from each of you guys on him. I will start with this one and say this. I think it's an extremely important, very, very important get for Wisconsin for the simple fact of it's a legacy. And I think when Luke Fickell got here, you saw a little bit of trepidation with the alumni, with the older players and kind of that Wisconsin family not being always the happiest. Well, when you get Jim Sorgi's son to come play there, I think that bridges that little bit of a gap. And he, first of all, talent-wise, really good get, right? I think, Justin, you kind of compared to like a Jack Cohn. I think it's a good one. I ultimately think that it's good for the entire Wisconsin family and the sort of resurgence of the football team in general, sort of like off-the-field stuff for Jack Sorgi. Nick, your overall quick thoughts on Sorgi.
Yeah, really well said, Rajiv. I think outside of just watching on the field, it's a great addition. But, man, I enjoyed watching his tape, and Justin and I were texting about it a little bit. Like, I think he's a very, very high-floor talent. I think he throws a nice layered ball. I think he makes pretty good reads. I think he progresses very well with some underrated mobility. I wrote that I think going into this fall, you're looking for, you know, that touchdown-to-picks ratio to be a little bit closer to what it was as a 15, 16-year-old rather than last year, which still wasn't bad, but he had like a 5-1 his sophomore year. So if you can get it a little bit closer to that 3 or 4 here this fall, he's gelled really well with the commits. He's already started recruiting a little bit for 2028 quarterbacks. So I think there's a ton to like here, fellas. Job well done.
Yeah, I think the big thing now is for him to get to work on a couple of wide receivers to bring in that first weekend with that entire group. They badly need to get a couple, because I look at that, and if he's coming in that weekend, I don't know where else you're like, you want the quarterback in with the receivers. Like you want him to be able to sell himself. So you're going to have to find out, figure out who you want to bring in for that weekend right away. Other than that,
Steel Harris told me he's probably coming that one. So there's one for you.
Okay. There we go. And it sounds like he had a really good visit. He was here this last weekend, right? So I think to me, I think the Cohen comparison is pretty good. I think it was interesting. I was listening to the camp. Those guys were talking about him, and Halperin said that he didn't think that he was like his dad. And I'm like, see, that's interesting because I'm like, to me, he reminds me of his dad as a quarterback a lot. Sorgi had athleticism. He just rarely ran. And I kind of feel like that there's a little bit of that in Jack also. Like
Jack's more of an athlete though. I think Jack's more of an athlete.
He's a little bit bigger. He's probably similar. Like he's going to have more weight. He's definitely going to carry more weight than his dad did. Like he's got a better build, but from the way he plays the position, they're similar. Like he's not a guy that is comfortable. Like he's not a natural runner. He's a guy who can run, but like you could tell by watching him, like it's not in his head. Like you watch a guy like Joseph, who's like beat, 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 throw. And he's like, all right, run. I'm gone. And he almost will play the passing game until it's to the point where it's like, all right, I have to run because he'll wait it out trying to make the throw. And that's just the instincts. Like some quarterbacks are different. Like he's probably going to offer a little bit more in terms of the ability to process the field and throw than some of the other guys that we've had. I think that he does a nice job of processing and working some of the quarterback instincts that some of the other guys that we've had in recently aren't necessarily coming in as strong as he is. From raw arm talent, it might be Hopkins right now in that room of the guys that we look at. It seems like he's throwing a dime every other day. That's a nice pass play for a freshman. But I think that he offers, like, he's a very stable guy bringing into that room. And I think that given what we've had in that room for the most part, there's a lot of boom bust. I think that he gives you something where you're like, we trust that he's going to develop and turn into something that is playable.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like I said, the off the field stuff really matters, I think, to me. All right, let's get into spring football. Nick, obviously you've seen some practices. You've written about this a lot. Hopefully people have read your works. Fantastic stuff. Give me so we're going to do offense, defense, special teams. Give me your biggest takeaways overall. We're going to go through a whole list of superlatives and all that stuff. Talk about the QB as well, but overall big takeaways offensively from you.
Yeah, I will. I'll try to keep it a little vague just because we're doing some great superlatives you came up with. But honestly, I know Justin saw this comment, Rajiv, Saturday as I was walking off the field. It felt like the best way to kind of put it together. I think finally, guys, and you knock on wood health-wise, I think you are seeing the staff, the personnel, and the execution in place of some of the vision for Grimes' offense. We know they're just going against each other. I'm not saying they're going to put up 50 points a game, nothing like that. But I kind of just watched, and normally defense is winning some of that. Defenses, they've had a great spring as well. But you just started to see, hey, it doesn't have to just be in the run game or there's going to be more tight end usage, but some receivers had big days. Like, I think it's coming together, and I think that's a reason to be excited right now.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. People need to understand, I think this defense is going to be really good this year. I legitimately think top 25, top 20 is in play for this. I think you're really strong with the guys that they brought in on the secondary, which is the area that was probably the biggest concern coming into this offseason. Defensive line sounds like it's come together fairly well. And I think the edges, although not probably quite as strong as last year, they offer some different tool sets compared to what you had last year. And it sounds like Mason Post is just going to be let loose. Like, they're going to use him all over the place. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up with 9-10 sacks this year, blitzing from basically anywhere.
Well, Justin skipped ahead to defense when we were still on offense, but I'll go back to offense.
But the point I was making was is that the offense is trading punches with this defense, and this is a really good defense. Like,
I think top 25 is very much in the mix.
Yeah. My big takeaway offensively is that the rooms, couple of the rooms that were like, we're kind of unsure what it was going to look like and how good it was going to be, have proven to be pretty decent and deep, and that's the quarterback room and the wide receiver room. The wide receiver room, still, is it top heavy? We don't know, like, where's that going to be? But I think that there is a lot of guys who, from everything that we've read and heard about split time, a lot of people like DiMaggio, and I guess I'm saying his name right, and you were right, Justin, it is DiMaggio, which is crazy to me, but all right. DiMaggio and Rigby, and then, of course, guys like Brooks and Henry, and it's nice to see that there's a lot of competition in that room. That is something that I really like to see. And there's a little bit of iron sharpens iron there. A lot of guys are vying for those spots. And the quarterback position, obviously, we know about Colton Joseph, but like to hear the things we've seen about Deuce Adams and Ryan Hopkins, like, you know how I feel about Ryan Hopkins. I'm going to talk about him later. But I mean, I just feel like I'm really happy with those, with a couple of those rooms that I was like, ooh, I don't know how deep those rooms go, but there's competition there, which I think is really great. Defensively, I'll start there. I mean, obviously post to Catalano, big takeaways, but I think ultimately for me, I have been very skeptical, as Justin knows, about the interior of the defensive line. And I think it sounds like they're going to be okay. Guys like Poizer and Russell and these guys, Perk, I mean, it's Perk. Perk. I feel Perk. Like we're going to be okay. and that's really good. That's a takeaway for me that I'm really happy about, because that needs to be good for us to have that top 25 defense, as you say.
So can I jump off that quick, real quick, Justin?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, D-line, I think it's so well said what you said a little bit, Rajiv. I'm not sure there's going to be a star, right? But even last year, you just could trust 4, 5, 6 guys. I think it is similar in that it is going to be a group effort, which I think that Whitlow loves. So I just wanted to add, kind of what I have seen. But yeah, Poizer's probably jumped out to me the most in terms of just sheer action production. And then for me, biggest takeaway, and this is one, we talked pre-show, guys, and for the people listening, that, I'm being careful in terms of just kind of how I approach and positivity, things like that, because I stand by everything I've ever said. But obviously, you see how quickly injuries can affect things and such. One that I feel like, guys, I have said since day two, I missed the first one with March Madness. The secondary might be the best that I've seen in my time here. I'm not saying the star like Allman or something like
prediction,
that. But
Nick.
Just
bold
from
prediction.
1 through 8, the guys you see back there. I like a lot of what I'm seeing. I do. Right. The corners they brought in is just so smart and so varied in their talents.
Yeah, I'm gonna dive back into offense a little bit, because I wanted to talk about the offensive line a little. One of the questions I was gonna ask, it sounds like Simmons is starting to steal some snaps here and there. Do you think that is they're not comfortable with Wilkins, or do you think it's more of a he's just earned some opportunity by progressing with that group?
I think it would be, at least from what my eyes are seeing, I'm not, obviously it's hard to see everything at once, but I think it is more, hey, let's see what he can do. Hey, he's doing well with the twos type of thing, than we see Wilkins struggling, because I don't necessarily think that there have been a ton of struggles. Right. I agree. I think the last, say, 5 or 6 practices, so like 2.5 weeks especially, I think that top O-line group, and we can talk about it because it's out there. Obviously, Mandel's hurt, so mm-hmm. Cherry's been up with the top group, and there's been a rotation here and there, but that general top 5 or 6, I think, has been very solid and has progressed a ton in the run game especially. Mm-hmm. Like the last couple weeks, you've seen even the Twitter account, 60 yards from Abu Sama, 45 from Brian Jackson, like coming along nicely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously, go ahead, Justin. You're talking about,
well, I was just going to say, I mean, I think we all feel like there's a certain level of concern with that second line. I like hearing that Simmons is actually pushing, and that's why they're giving him some opportunity. Thoughts on Royski? Similar as I think we feel really good about his overall potential,
Justin,
but he's also a baby deer kind of.
He's impressive, man. You'll hear me mention him later. I watched him closely, especially this last week or so. I'm not sure he is as much of kind of the, baby deer, Justin, as you said. Like, the guy, if you even catch him outside of this interviews, like, mentally, he'd tell you himself. He's like a mid to late 20-year-old type of dude in terms of just focus, confidence, seriousness. So, yeah, I feel good about him.
I mean, look, my thoughts on the O-line and my concerns with the O-line are well documented, so I don't need to go into that very much. I'm happy that Wilkins is playing well. I'm really happy. Obviously, like I said, I'm really confident in Kwecky. I'm really confident in Haywood. I hope that the line, I'm sure that the first line is good. My concern is depth. That's always been my concern with the O-line, very clearly, but we'll get to that as well. But I'm glad to see that they've got sounds like Wilkins is going to play left and Haywood's going to play right. And if that's the way it's going to be, I'm fine with it as long as those two guys are there. And let's hope that they are healthy, because that's a key part of it. Nick, please, I need some Nick Osen optimism coming my way about Gavin Lom. Can you give me some optimism to be excited about with the kicking game? Can you give me anything here?
When I jump on with you guys, time is flying. It's already going to be May. So next week, when spring football is officially done, or, you know, the following week, I can give you even more, Rajiv, because generally the final practice of the session is super special teams focused. So we will have that this upcoming week. But if you're having like reasons for negativity or anything, if you're feeling that, I don't think there's any reason to, at least from what I've seen. I mean, obviously there's been a missed kick here and there, but like with the time he's put into the program and the leg that he has, and just the fact that, like I said, I haven't seen anything totally alerting, worrisome. Like I feel good. I think what I will add is, Michael kind of talked about himself last week or so, I'm going to be watching and continuing to watch net punts and basically the consistency there. We know the leg that West has, but just kind of what comes out of that. That's why, you know, some people, some reporters might think like the special teams, the last one isn't the most exciting. And sure, we'd all love to watch, you know, live 80 plays, but there are things to take away from that. So I feel like I can go a little bit more in depth there, Rajiv, in a week or two, we'll say.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was surprised. I was kind of surprised we didn't get a guy in the portal. So if Lom can do it, then let's go, man. I'm not going to. So
they trust me. I mean, dude, I reported last year. We can obviously talk about it. Like, there were practices he was better than Bakos, you know.
Good.
So
good.
Like,
great.
Like here and there. So yeah, I wouldn't be too worried.
So he didn't kick one like 40 yards to the left like Vito Calvaruso?
I have not seen that happen.
And listen, don't forget Sean West can also throw the ball. You know, he's that's right. Whenever that was our like biggest
apparently kick anyway. Short kicks too.
All right, so let's do this. I want to talk about the quarterback a little bit. Colton Joseph, obviously, big story out there, simply that, you know, he's our new quarterback. Can he adjust? Seen some mixed things, Nick. Honestly, we've seen various reports from you and other people. We've seen some picks and interceptions and lots of things. And then you got guys like Ryan Hopkins, who, hello, Ryan Hopkins. Yeah, buddy. He's looking like he's throwing dimes all over the field. I'm not trying to start anything with the quarterback controversy. I'm just asking.
Easy, man.
No, of course not. It's a very simple question. Like, is he progressing the way you expected him to, from your eye and the things that you've seen? Like, what's the word on Colton Joseph from your perspective right now?
Yeah. And so, you know, it's funny. It's similar to the Billy Edwards last spring. I'll tweet my 8-10 standout today, and then Joseph won't be on every single one, and people will say, where's Joseph? Where's Selma? Are they practicing? You know, so that's where, like, I just want people to trust me and read the stories. But in all seriousness, Rajiv, if we did this show, you know, three practices ago, I probably would have said, I'm still looking for some more of those wild plays. And then this last week, did he deliver them? Specifically, in terms of how I described Sorgi earlier, like some of those layered throws, the tight windows, the on the run, 30 yards down the field, right? Like, I'm not saying everything's been perfect, but to me, when you saw Joseph, you were thinking of two things. One, obviously the mobility, check. I mean, the kid has wheels. And two, I think just being able to simply be more of a threat and obviously move the ball downfield. And he's done that. And I think that the receivers and the chemistry and all of that is still growing within the offense, as is expected right now. Justin, I like what he said about the defense. I do think it'll be a top 25 to 30 unit, but I like where he's at, Rajiv. I think that Fickell said it really well about a week ago or so, and it would very fairly match my description. He's not necessarily, you know, where they hope he's going to kind of end up, but I think the quote was his growth has been tremendous. And I agree. From week two to, I think this would have been week 5 or 6, he has grown. There seems to be more command. And I'm pretty comfortable with what we've seen. I saw a comment about ball security. You know, yeah, obviously you don't want to see some interceptions and things in fall camp and going forward, but I generally like where he's at, and there's no question he's shown some of his best dimensions as well, Justin.
Yeah, it's
and you know, go ahead. I think that one of the things that I like, I don't think can be overstated, is that ultimately he did play at Old Dominion last year. Even getting into camp with Big Ten athletes is just different. It's just different. It is. And that when you have guys like Posa and Catalano and Cheeks and Playton crumbing at you, like it's just, it matters. And he is going to take time to adjust. Does he have the talent? Does he have the skill set? Does he have the frame? Does he have all the tools? Yes, we know that. He is super fast. He is strong. He is well built. Like it's, he can be very good in the conference. He just needs time to develop. I wasn't overly concerned when I sat at that spring game and saw Tanner Mordecai throw four picks either. Like I wasn't like, I just feel like that kind of stuff happens in spring ball and we just need to see how it develops. What I like more than anything else about the QB situation is that the room looks to be in pretty good spot with Deuce Adams and Ryan Hopkins. Carter Smith is still back there. Ryan Hopkins seems to be developing nicely. That's good. He'll be a quarterback for the future. But I'm fine with not hearing rave reviews about Colton Joseph. I think when the time is right, the time is going to be right. If he stays healthy, I think I'm happy with what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing horrible things. Sure, would I love to hear more great things? Fine, yes. But also, like, this is what I think you expect out of a quarterback right now. So I would just caution Badger fans to just chill with it because I think it's going to be fine. Justin, go ahead.
Yeah, my thoughts on this are going to be simple. Number one, I haven't heard that he's been particularly turnover prone in camp. I mean, I think, yeah, he's thrown a few here and there, but I don't think that he's been a guy who has been just putting it up for grabs a ton. It doesn't sound like. So I think people, you look at the stats from last year, and I kind of went into it a little bit. It's some of the turnover stuff with him is overblown. Some of it I expect to be tempered down simply because I don't think he's going to be taking as many deep shots as what he was at the school. I mean, that was a boom bust offense that he played in last year where everything was 15 yards downfield or deeper. And he's just not going to be doing, like, he's going to be having dump offs to the tight end and stuff like that, where he's going to be throwing the ball 7 yards. They will work in the intermediate, but this is much more of a calculated deep shot offense than it is we're just going to let guys run free. The other part of it is his skill set is never going to fully show in a camp environment because you're never going to let him play the way that he would be playing in game, which is he is going to run for his life. And there's going to be times when you're going to blow the whistle that he would probably make a move on a guy and just end up loose. And you're like, that's why he's special and why you want him to do what you're going to do. And there's probably times in camp where he'll sit there and wait to make a throw where he probably would take off if it was the season where he's just like, I've got green grass in front of me. I'm taking the guarantee. And they want him to work on the reading the progression and making the throw. So there's a lot to take away from this. The fall will probably tell a little bit more because it will be closer to them really wanting him to run the offense versus the spring being more of a learning experience for him and just being like, this is the playbook, learn it, get it down, get the experience with it. Which is why I look at it and I'm like, you guys need to remember this is about growth. The spring is fully about growth. And it sounds like we've heard this entire team feels like it grew during the course of the spring to the point where the offense has become far more able to trade punches with the defense than it was at the start, which is something that I think was a concern initially. We wanted to hear that they were going to take steps and start, you know, being able to counter a little bit. Because the defense has been good effectively all camp.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. And I think the quarterback situation is okay. We're good. We're fine. Fall camp, as you said, is going to be really where it's at.
I think he's been pretty good, Rajiv. I just want to make sure. Like, I don't think I was implying he's been this turnover prone or anything. There was just a comment there. But yeah, I would feel if they had a game in 3-4 weeks. Like, I would feel pretty good.
Yeah, your comments throughout spring have been pretty positive with him. It's obviously, I'm thinking about the collective stuff. Obviously, you've been to some, you've seen him. And, you know, Justin and I just read everything that you and all of your colleagues put out there, right? So,
people want to see Russell Wilson. They want to hear every practice that he's been lights out, And it's just right.
I think at the end of the day, it's progressing. I think he's a good fit with Grimes' system. I think that's a nice, like, I'm really happy to hear you say, Nick, that like you're seeing some of the, you know, the personnel, the execution that fits with Grimes' system, because we didn't see Grimes' system last year. And I'd like to see it. I think it would be good to see. We were excited about it when we got him a couple years ago. So we'll see how that progresses. To talk more through spring, we're going to do some superlatives. Always a fun way to go through all things with spring. And then what we're going to do at the end of this, there's 10. We're going to open up the notebook for anything else that Nick and or Justin want to add that they haven't already talked about with spring. So you get all this stuff that everyone wants to say. We'll start with this one. Justin, we'll start with you then, Nick. Portal star. So transfer, who came in from the transfer portal that has been the stud of this spring, Justin?
Oh, man. I would say it's honestly, this one's a toss-up for me. It's either going to be Abusama probably or Colton Joseph. I feel like Joseph has shown some of the things that you want to see from a quarterback in this. I do feel pretty confident about him heading into the season that he's going to be somewhat dynamic for us. Abusama, I think it's we've kind of been looking for a guy that we feel comfortable in providing us a true running threat. I feel really good that he's going to be a guy that can be a 1,000-yard type back here this year.
Yeah, I also had two. Both offense, both start with A. Abusama or Austin Kowacki. I mean, I understand, you know, you're not going to like flash in a bunch of highlights type of thing, but I just think he was, Mateo said it perfectly a week or two ago, like the most important thing that they did this offseason, at least for the offensive line, you know, in terms of making sure you had a center like him coming in. So he's been a standout of mine multiple times as I continue to grow with some of my O-line, pedigree. And those would be my two.
Literally, Nick, Kowacki and Sama. Those are two names that I wrote down. Very much agree. I think Kowacki, hey, he's the most, I feel like he's the anchor. Like he's the guy that we're all pretty confident about in the offensive line. And we got a starting center. We wanted a starting center. We got a starting center, and he looks like he's going to be a good one. I totally agree. I want your stuff in the comments. Badge Fanatics says Abusama. Tyler Schubert says Kamara. I put numbers by all of these, so when you're putting in your comments, whether you put them in now, later, or even when you're watching the show, tomorrow, put the number and then the answer so I can flash them up with the right number, because otherwise they get a little crossed, and I want to make sure I get your answers up properly for those listening in the chat.
I do want to say something on Kamara. I do think that he's going to be really good this year, but the question is going to be is how much run does he actually get, because the linebacker room is just loaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Number two, biggest surprise. I'll start with this one here. And I'm going cornerbacks, physicality, and speed. This to me was a surprise. Like I knew we were going to have good cornerbacks, but I did not expect to see the physicality and hear about the physicality. Like Payne wrote a great article, it was today or yesterday, about the quarterbacks and their knockdown drills. And it's just, I'm really happy with this room. And I feel like the versatility, and Nick, you said one of the best secondaries that you've ever seen potentially. That's been a surprise. I knew we had good players. I knew we had good players, but the physicality and speed surprised me. Go ahead, Nick, you're up.
So was this, I want to make sure answering well, my friend, answering like one player or like biggest surprise theme,
anything you want, anything you can, it can be, it can definitely be a player, or it can be like, for me, it's just kind of like overall biggest surprise.
Yeah. I guess I'll give two, but I'll be quick. Player. We're all going to talk about him, but I mean, I feel like I have to say Ryan Hopkins. Like I thought he was a good eval, you know, I wasn't like having any doubts by any means. And I try to keep in mind, hey, he's not often going against the ones, but like, guys, he has been fantastic. I mean, there's a reason that's been like a consensus around the beat. And then I would just say, it's not like some shocker, because I think that Letton is actually a very underrated developer within the staff, but
that room sounds
tight end room is in a very, very nice spot.
So I've got a couple here. My biggest surprise, obviously, it's Hopkins, like you said, but beyond him. I say that because Wisconsin, we've been fans who have been just abused with our freshman quarterbacks. Like when have we ever, like, even Graham Mertz came in, he wasn't like popping like Hopkins has been this spring. Like, you could see talent with him, but it wasn't like he was consistently making plays like Hopkins has been doing in camp, to the point where he's pushing into the two spot and feels like he's legitimately like making a name. Like, I don't feel like he's taking Adam's spot, but I feel like you look at it and you're kind of like, you know, if we went to the fall and he gets a fall camp and you didn't have Adams on the roster, you might not feel bad about Hopkins being a guy at the number two. And I think that that's kind of like, he's played that well. We have not had a quarterback that we've come in that we've been like, wow, this guy's ahead of the curve here. The other one for me is Jalen Williams, who is a guy I was super high on to start with. This one has gone since the end of weight training when we saw that he completely reshaped his body from last year to this year. But then to hear that he also started showing it on the field right away in the spring here was a big deal. And I think that ultimately he could be a kind of X factor guy because he gives you something on that edge with his size and athleticism that I think some of the other big guys don't quite offer, because he moves so well laterally for a guy that has that kind of size that we don't really have another guy that I would look at and say, they have the ability to kind of adjust or do things to create problems for an offense.
For the record, the reason Ryan Hopkins wasn't my biggest surprise, because it wasn't a surprise to me. I've been all in on Ryan Hopkins. No,
I'm in on him and not expect him to just be lighting
it up. For sure. But here's the thing, and I've said this many times to you, Justin, when you play at a school like Mater Dei, and you play the opponents like Bishop Gorman down the road, when I got to see him, like you're playing against, there were 77 guys with D1 offers on that field, 77 at that game I was at between Mater Dei and Gorman. That's the kind of talent he was playing against. You're basically playing against college athletes. That's why I'm really not surprised that he's doing as well as he is. Okay, Nick, best position group.
Yeah, so I'm going to give two, if that's okay, both on the same side of the ball. One, not a big surprise, and I was afraid Justin was going to jump into it a couple ago, talking about how loaded it is, linebacker. I think it's not a shock when you came into this spring or even before the portal stuff, like you knew Hosa, Catalano, those would be some of the biggest names. I think Kamara was a very smart, you know, focused addition from my understanding. They were just, you know, looking to kind of build on some of that athleticism within the room. And then Tommy Heiberger has been, finally a standout for me multiple days. Not surprised about that. So that group's just really good. And then I think just with the additions on top of the competition, I might say corner.
Okay. Justin, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, I'm gonna go back to the position that we just discussed. I'm going to go two, like you. I think tight end is incredibly deep, actually, coming into the season. You legitimately have at least four guys you feel comfortable with starting. You'd go Bork, Steck, Schweideman, and Harris are all guys you feel comfortable with being out on the field, which we have not had here in a while. Like we've had for what, 5 years now, where if the one guy went down, you're like, I don't know. We have guys who have some recruiting pedigree, but they haven't really shown anything or popped in camp. Well, honestly, the guy we've heard the least about was Schweideman in camp. We heard plenty about Steck. We heard plenty about Bork, and Harris was catching everything. And then defensively, I think the safety room is going to be really deep. I think there's multiple guys in there. We've kind of heard about Kyros Gaines kind of pushing his way a little bit there and continues to make plays. And that's a big deal. You're right about definitely about corner. I think that there's at least five guys that are fighting over that spot, those two spots, which makes it, like, the defense kind of is the deepest probably we've seen. Man, you have to go back to like 2010 or something, like one of those teams that was just loaded before all we've dealt with any of this nonsense. Where you look across the board where there's like position groups and you're like, I have multiple guys at every one of these positions that can play if we need them to. We don't really have a spot on defense that I look at and I'm like, if somebody goes down, we're in trouble here.
Yeah. Nothing really much to add. It's in linebacker for me. It's the best. It's the best going into camp. It's the best coming out of camp. It's the best next year. It's going to be the best the year after that. Mace Poston, Catalano are two NFL players. So yeah, I'm going with that. Justin, depth chart leaper. Who's the guy that more improved, climbed the depth chart the most in your eyes?
It's probably Scott.
I
think they went into the spring here. I think they liked him last year, but I think they went into knowing that they needed more experienced guys, and he's done nothing but come out and actually just play his butt off in spring to the point where he's probably as close to Robinson as it's going to get in terms of a guy who's trying to lock down that spot. And there just is a lot of talent in that room trying to fight with him and trying to, you know, maintain and stay with him. But I think if they started a game probably tomorrow, it would probably be Robinson and Scott would be the two starters there.
It's good. I'm going the other side. I'm going Bork. I feel like Bork has really impressed a lot of people, and I think he might be a guy that climbs that chart a little faster than people think. Not necessarily he's going to be the starting guy out of the gate, but I think Bork has done himself no harm. Yeah, he's done himself no harm.
A guy like Harris doesn't.
Yeah, he's my depth chart leaper. I really like what I've heard about him.
I mean, he has built like literally an NFL tight end.
He's a freight train. Yeah.
It's just, I guess I shouldn't be shocked because we're all friends and I like all of our football acumen, but literally the two names I have mentioned. Just for Scott, you know, you'll hear me say his name as we close superlatives in a few, so I'll mention that. But no, guys, I mean, honestly, like, not a guy that I was, you know, maybe like expecting this type of jump or even some of what we saw last year. He's so technically sound, but he's also as Coach Steeples would say, you know, violent, competitive, like really, really impressive. I guess just to mix it up from Bork, you know, this was kind of expected, but Nick Clayton, obviously somebody that we've been, you know, high on for a long time, is going to have a pretty important role.
Okay, let's move on to greatest concern that you have. I will start this one. I've said it before, I'll say it again, depth at the offensive tackle. That's it. That's my biggest concern right now on this entire team. It's if one of those guys goes down, are we going to see a situation like we did last year? And I'm scared about it. I'm happy with our line right now. It's okay, but I'm going to continue to say that tackle depth is my concern. We should have got one more in the portal.
I don't think it's tackle depth for me. I actually think it's center. I know they've gotten consistency out of Kowecki. I think Ryan Corey has been kind of a little bit of an adventure there at times. And you'd hope by now with the amount of time that he's spent there that he'd be a little bit more consistent. But if there's one guy that I'm a little bit worried about, if something happens to Kowecki, I'm not totally sure that Corey is going to be as consistent as we'd like at the center position.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, just because this is something I'll probably dive more into in the fall, for now, I would just say health or injuries at maybe spots that aren't as deep. I will be a little bit vague on that right now. I do think I'll push back a little bit. I think the O-line is maybe a little deeper in some of those spots, as we kind of mentioned. But, like, I understand it, guys. Obviously,
a dude,
you don't want to see, you know, injuries that we've seen the last couple of years.
Dude, I just had PTSD from last year's offensive line. I can't. Wisconsin and offensive line, Wisconsin and bad offensive line do not go together. And when they go together, there's a real freaking problem. And I just had PTSD, so I need to see that not happen again. Tyler Schubert says, kicker, more because it's an unknown than anything. So I get that. I certainly understand that. Okay, let's move on to freshman to watch. I have a feeling that many answers are going to be similar to what we've already kind of talked about here. Ryan Hopkins, like, hello. For me, it's Ryan Hopkins. Very happy with what he's doing. We don't need to add on to that, but maybe you have someone else. If not, Ryan Hopkins is okay. But Nick, who's your freshman to watch?
I had Hopkins, but I will just add, just, you know, to add a little bit further, of course, I will say DJ Ba or Yaya God have both had some moments that maybe you wouldn't have expected as early.
I think for me, I have a hard time going with Hopkins because I just don't see him playing this year. So, like, what does to watch mean? I think it's, is there somebody who can carve out an opportunity to actually pull playing time this year?
Sure.
And I have to look at potentially, you know, can some of the young wide receivers start to push where they get into, like, that wide receiver 5 or 6 range, a guy like Cash Brock or Thibodeau. That room feels like there's a gap there, though, for me. So it's hard to say that. I don't know. God might be the guy you have to go with because he's actually, you know, kind of pushing the two deep a little bit at this point. And I think that he offers some things kind of similar to what I brought up with Williams, where he's one of those guys that has some mass to him, but also has some movement ability that and strength that is unexpected for a freshman. It's going to be a lot of mental with him. And can he be consistent enough in his technique to not get himself out of position and have big plays happen?
All right, moving on, number seven. This is one of my favorite ones. Under the radar player, so someone who people just aren't really talking about that you feel like they should. Nick, I'll let you lead this one off.
Yeah, so I think one of these will fit under the radar. I think the second one, you dig a little bit deeper, it makes sense. So for me, I want Cairo Skanes on defense. I think if you've been watching, you know, following our stuff, like you've been hearing about him, I just think he's too good and too versatile to not get some chances in a room that, you know, I think we all agree could be pretty deep safety. Guys, I'm actually going to go with one of the biggest names coming in, but I think people don't talk about him because of the transfer names and things like that. Darion Dupree looks the most that he has since coming to campus.
Nice.
And he's going to have a massive role. I think that it's – I don't like because it gets thrown out so much, like two-headed monster, you know, backfield, that type of thing. But you guys know I'm very
high. They have three.
Covered right now. No, I'm just – exactly. I'm just saying, like, Jackson has been a standout multiple times. But in terms of – it was talked about Sama, and then where does Dupree fit in? You know, he's always talked about receiving threat, maybe more of the elusive guy. He's looking very complete, and I'll say that for now.
Can I ask you a question? Because I'm kind of curious on him. Have they put him in the slot at all? Because I know we're not the deepest at that slot position as we've been in the past in terms of guys that have kind of that shifty ability. It's basically Henry. Maybe Thibodeau, I guess you could put in that role. But
yeah, KT's been there a little bit. I personally have not seen Dupree there a ton.
Okay.
I only missed that first one. So I wouldn't say a lot. Obviously, they'll utilize him as a pass catcher here and there. But just I've seen how he has handled competition and pass pro, all of that, guys. So just worth noting.
For me, it's Javon Robinson, actually. I think he is kind of the steadying influence in that cornerback room, the guy who's the most experienced. I think that they've kind of – his name got kind of put in as ink from the start. He's got some nice upside athletically. Like, he's a guy that actually has legit speed. He's not a huge corner, but he's got good speed, so he can definitely run with somebody. But I think when all this kind of happened and there were all of these pieces that came in from the cornerback room, his was the name that was talked about the least, but yet he's the guy who's put the most on tape and has actually done the most. And it feels like people have kind of been quiet on him in camp, even though it sounds like he's had a pretty good camp.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, I'm sticking on the defensive side of the ball with you, but I'm going Matt Young because I feel like Matt Young is a guy that at the beginning of last year, when he was kind of forced into play, people were like, oh, man, I don't know about this guy. As the season progressed, you saw him working harder, playing better, getting stronger. Near the end of the season, he started playing really well. Then you get guys like Van Dinter. We've talked about Skanes. We've talked about all these players in the safety room. But it sounds like Matt Young's still a starter, and from what I can tell, at least for now. And I feel like that is something to be celebrated for him because I think at the end of last year, people were like, or even middle of last year, no one said, we don't want that guy starting. I'm going to give under the radar to Matt Young because I feel like he has continued to grow. We've seen a jump from him. We've seen growth. I expect him to play a big role this year, and I expect him to be a player that Badger fans really like. When last year, I don't think you could have said that.
Nick, out of those guys, you've seen the safeties play a little bit. Who seems to be the one they like to play in center field more? Is it more Burks or is it more Young?
Okay, so you're saying out of the top two. I would probably say, I mean, it's been a little bit of a balance. I would probably
Burke,
because of kind of some of his closing ability. But, you know, I think what Rajiv said was really well said. And there's a reason that it's like, hey, these guys are coming up. It's one of my favorite spots. But I think the veterans are kind of in that top spot, you know, right now.
So that was my only concern really with Young was I felt like at times when we watched him a little bit, I questioned how much speed was actually there. Now, obviously you've seen a little bit more of him in camp here. So I, mm-hmm. maybe he looks a little bit more adept or has gained a tick there, but at times it felt like he was trailing a little bit more than I would have liked last year. So if that's something that we've seen ready, and I do want to mention was one of the comments in here, somebody bringing up Rafael Dunn. He's probably the number two slot guy right now. So he is in play, but right now it's West's job to lose at this for the slot corner.
Okay, number eight, post-spring biggest unknown. So what is the biggest unknown after spring football, Justin?
Wide receiver, who's going to be the top guy? Because I think there's probably four or five names there. And this is the question I wanted to ask you, Nick, on this, because my gut reaction based off of what I've heard from camp is that the wide receiver room hasn't been bad. There just hasn't been anybody who's kind of taken the bull by the horns and been a stud day in, day out. And it's kind of sounds like everyone's just kind of going out there and doing their job, but people aren't necessarily flashing and making like these big plays left and right. Although it does sound like DiMaggio kind of stepped it up at the end of camp here and started stacking some good days.
Yeah. But Justin, I think how I go about it, and it was, you know, kind of part of my answer to this as well, is I think it is a solid room. I think that has multiple contributors that have just, you know, kind of, yeah, like you said, done it in spurts. I don't think maybe there's just one or two guys that have kind of totally elevated over the rest. I'll tell you this. I think that Tyrell Henry's been among the most consistent for me. You know, he's going to have a role. I think that Hilton has done enough to have that type of role. I think DiMaggio early on when I came back from Portland, and then this last week or so, probably has made the most flash types of plays. So that's kind of what I would say. But I mean, I think you're going to see, you know, five or six guys. And if I could just add guys before I jump off here to prep some stuff for the week, I think this is a really good unknown. If you said, Nick, what two tight ends are you going to see play the most? I'm not sure exactly. Like I think Harris would probably be top for me, but man, I would trust, like you said, Justin, again, so well, like Steck, Bork is getting up there. Schwendeman, I know you've been reading my stuff. I make sure to mention him often because he has a very clear-cut role there and kind of the flex H-back type of vibe for him. But I think, you know, Nate Letton is very, you know, about his business and loves kind of getting into and coaching his guys. But he couldn't really hide his smile talking about his room earlier this week. Specifically, I remember with Harris, all this time with Steck and then Bork. Like, you see Bork out there, guys. He truly looks like he's 27 playing for the Packers. So, just in terms of, you know, physicality and such. So, awesome being back. Obviously, super excited to wrap up spring ball. And if you'll have me, guys, for an official wrap-up, I will jump on next week. And maybe there will be some more recruiting buzz to talk about as well.
Heck yeah.
We have no problem with that.
You're always welcome.
Appreciate you, fellas.
All right, man. Nick's going to bounce off. We're going to finish up our list here. So, Justin, let's go to spring MVP. How are you feeling about spring MVP?
I think that has to be probably – I'm going to split it with Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano. But I think it is like you have to – it's so hard not to say these two guys are the leaders of this team. And not only have they been lights out all camp long, but they are also the guys who are kind of demanding a certain level of attitude and kind of level of play from everybody. And I think that we saw that starting kind of in the last few games of last year. Now their fingerprints are all over this team this year, where you have them taking on a big leadership role. And I think it's super important for this team to have some guys like that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to give you an honorable mention here, but I think that you got to give it to those guys. They're going to be the anchor of this team. They're certainly the anchor of the defense, and they're the reason that we had a good defense the back half of last season. So there's just nothing there. My honorable mention here is going to Sebastian Cheeks. Heard a lot of good stuff about him. And the pass rush is one of those things where it's like, oh, are we sure the pass rush is really going to be good? Or we don't know. And And is the D tackle, are the D tackles good enough to allow those guys to do it? But Cheeks just, he just is clearly taking another step. He was really good last year. Now he's even better. I think he's going to be the anchor of that pass rushing group. You got guys like Clayton, you got guys like Danitz, you got other Fearbury, but Cheeks seems to be that guy. And I think it's possible that when you look, excluding Posa and Catalano, potentially best defender on the team, it could very well be Sebastian Cheeks is that guy. So I'm gonna give some love to him. I think he's had a great camp.
I think it's really interesting because I look at this defense, and obviously we haven't seen it directly play on the field. There's not a really a place that I look at where I see a weakness in terms of, like, this is a spot that we don't necessarily feel great about the guy that's out there. Any one of the guys on defense, for the most part, I mean, the interior defensive line is probably the spot where we'd be shocked if somebody had like a just a wrecking machine type game. But I feel good about the corners, that there could be guys out there that take over a game and just are really good. I feel good about the safeties. I feel good about the edge guys. And those two middle linebackers I feel amazing about. So I think really the defensive line being able to elevate their play and be like a dominant type defense is where that question lies with that. But there's a really good personnel on this defense right now that I look at and I'm like, I feel there's a lot of guys here where you feel like they can be playmakers.
Yeah. You lead me into my number 10 storyline of the summer. So spring's over basically, as we progress into the summer and we start beginning to talk about fall camp, what's the biggest storyline for me? Here's the storyline. Do the Badgers have potentially an elite defense? And we've talked about that a little bit today. That to me is the storyline, because whether or not this offense is great, how many more points, we have to score more points again than we did last year. How many more points are we going to score? Is Colton Joseph really going to be good? Are the receivers good enough? Blah, blah, blah. We go into all that. But one thing that you know, will get overlooked nationally potentially is whether the Badgers have an elite defense. And that can be our winning ticket to a lot of these games. I mean, you have better pieces offensively. If you have an elite defense, it can keep you in every single ball game you play, and it can win you some ball games too, especially with some of those players we have. That to me is the storyline that I want to be thinking about all summer, that I'm going to be talking about. And as we prepare for the season, that's going to be that hype. My hype meter defensively has gone way up. And so that to me is my storyline.
Yeah, I don't know, like, if they'll be the most disciplined defense as of yet, but I do think that this is one of the most athletic Wisconsin defenses that we've ever seen. And that will be very interesting to see how much that affects things. Because if they are disciplined with the level of athletes that they have in the field, I think they have a chance to be a special group. And that means, you know, if everything goes right, you have what could potentially be a top 15, top 10 type unit, which would be incredible for us. And I think what that means to me is I do think that the offense becomes at least solid again this year. And if that's the case, you give them some room for error to not have to carry the game and have to go out there and score 35 points if they can go out there and at least be productive. And they have a schedule that I think is very forgiving for them, that if you have a dominant defense, I don't think there's a lot of teams that you look at on that list that you're going to be like, this is a team that can punish you. Like, there's not going to be a lot of great offenses that they see.
Yeah, no doubt. We're probably not going to get to, basketball today, because we've got we've had a lot of football chat. But Justin, like, we talked about a lot of things. What other notes do you have about spring that you wanted to bring up? Anything else that you saw, overall, general impressions, big picture, anything else you want to touch on with spring football and things that you read? Because we're basically at the end of it.
I think, like, we talked about coming into this, the questions that we had for this team. I think we largely answered them as well as we possibly could without actually seeing the team play a real game. Like, I don't think there's a spot that we necessarily look at and say we've heard a lot of bad things. Like, we heard last year some things that were like hints that things weren't going to be great. I don't think we've heard a lot of that. Like, we've heard that the edge guys have been really good, but we have also heard people say, yeah, the tackles don't look bad. Like, Wilkins and Haywood don't look like they're doing a bad job. It's just you have some talent on the edge. And so when I start to hear stuff like that, it's like, okay, well, if that's the case, we're getting to a point where, like, there's going to be some trade-off. Like, you get to a certain point, these guys are talented guys on both sides of the ball. Sometimes one guy's going to win, the other side's going to win. And what that means is you're going to have a little bit of these days where somebody might have get the better of one guy, you know, and then maybe the next guy wins the next day. We're getting more consistency there. And that to me is a really big deal because the offensive line play needs to get back to where it was. It does sound like Mateos has actually done a pretty darn good job developing this group in the spring. You hope it continues into the fall and that this offensive line group is pretty ready to go by the time season hits.
Yeah, I mean, they're all very well said. And I agree largely with what you said. I think ultimately, for me, the defense just has, I was very concerned about the D-line. I've said that, and I was concerned about the O-line. Still am a little bit on the, about the depth. But I think that we've talked about how the roster is a better position than it has been in a while. We all agree to that. We agree that position groups are deeper than they have been in a while. So there's that. When you couple that all together and you see some of the play that we've seen and heard about, I think the talent really is there, and that makes me feel like the offensive line is better. It makes me feel like the defense is still going to be really good. We ended last year with a really good defense because of those two guys in the middle and everyone around them and the guys up front. Now we've replaced some of those guys up front. We've done a lot of with the back end. The secondary will clearly be improved, and which elevates this team to a new level. And frankly, it allows Mike Tressel to do the things that he wants to do. And we were down on him a little bit a couple years ago. We're high on him now, rightfully so. He's earned it. And I'm excited to see what Mike Tressel can do with his players and the style of defense that he wants to run. He got more athletic in the back end. He's gotten in exceptional linebackers. Like, it really is an exciting time for Wisconsin defense, and that makes me very happy.
Absolutely. And this comment from Michael Gardner, 96 here. If this defense is top 15, we might win some games just because our defense is so good we don't need to score much. We saw hints of this last year already. We won the game against Washington and effectively the game against Illinois because of the fact that the defense was so dominant in those two games that they gave the offense rope until they could actually make some plays. And that is going to be a big part of this. And that's why I bring it up. Like, the offense doesn't have to be world beaters. I think they will be significantly improved coming into this year. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be incredible. They don't have to be if the defense is a really good defense where they're going to be able to hold down the other team and give some opportunity to the offense to get its legs going in games.
Yeah. Definitely. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to have a lot of football content coming after, of course, when it comes to an official end. We will be doing our 2-deep depth chart coming up soon, breaking down the entire team so everyone can kind of see what our position is on that. And of course, as we move into the summer, more and more football content will be coming our way. If you are still listening to us, thank you so, so much. Hit that like button. Really helpful for the show. That's great. If you're listening to this right now, smash that. That would be fantastic. Rajiv's Corner is coming back this week, and I'm talking about how much I hate flopping in sports and the NBA, because I've got something to say about that. So if you're interested in talking about how I absolutely cannot stand the NBA right now because of this ridiculous flopping, it's so unwatchable.
I want to give you another part to go into on that. You can go into the pathetic excuse for what is required to call an offensive foul now in basketball too.
Oh God.
Effectively, you can be a running back and just run through people, and it's a blocking foul every time, which is so ridiculous.
I'm going to be talking about that. And Rajiv's Corner is also coming to YouTube this week. So it's not going to just be audio. It's going to be a quick 20-minute show that I'll do in the middle of the week, talking about some random stuff. And if you've listened to the ones on audio, they're go check them out if you're interested. It's been a while now since I've had them, since before the baby, but yeah, they're a lot of fun. It's a different kind of topic every week, so we're going to talk about the NBA this week. Justin, final thoughts on anything before we close today?
Yeah, I think everything we've heard, it sounds like Saturday was a really good practice for everybody. There were people out there saying in the time that they've seen Wisconsin spring games, this is probably the best they've seen the offense look in a game. That's a big deal. You know, we had legitimate concerns about this offense being able to find its stride and show something. And it sounds like over the last 2 weeks here, they started to kind of get some legs and get comfortable and be more consistent. And we didn't have that last year in camp. The offense was kind of a train wreck last year a little bit. And we heard a lot about the defense dominating. I feel like we're headed in a good position heading into the fall, where now these guys get the summer to work on some things some more, and hopefully you come into the fall camp ready to be just lights out and really put the foot down and get ready to go.
And like I said at the top of the show, spring football is where expectations are built, right? And this is where, this is the hope. This is the time when you can have that hope. Let's hope that our hope isn't dashed like it has been in years past. We will be back again next week. Thank you for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.